Kia ora tātou, Brian, warm greetings to you all this morning. Kind of sounded a little bit funny when Lea Tovau said he wanted to introduce me because I'm pretty sure everyone knows who I am. So firstly, I'm grateful for this opportunity to talk with you all this morning. When Reverend Motekie asked me to share a little bit more about my work, I had to think, what really can I offer, given that we have talked about my work in this setting before, and from time to time I've had conversations with a few of you at morning tea and things like that. So if you're not aware, I work for Mapu Maya. Actually, that might be one of the different changes from last time. So Mapu Maya is the Pacific service for the Problem Gambling Foundation, and about 6 months ago I switched over to this team specifically, but prior to that I was working in the mainstream team of the organisation. So this morning I'm just going to share a little bit more. It's kind of like a refresher of the work, and a little bit different in terms of the approach that we have as a Pacific service, as well as an update of what is happening in the gambling space at the moment. You may have seen some news items over the few months around it. The first part is just a touching base a little bit around the work that I've been doing and I do. And the second part will be a little bit on like a small group discussion and a bit of reflection about continuing that discussion around what does this mean for us as followers of Christ. So, but to kick us off, just a little bit about the service. So we are a counselling service that's free and confidential for Pacific people, mainly because of the cultural approach that Mapu Maya has around counselling and working broadly with families as well. So the other part of our service is health promotion and education, which is kind of like what I'm doing with you this morning, where we go out into the community and raise awareness around the harms of gambling, as well as other addictions and mental health. Community advocacy is part of our work that involves mostly around policy in terms of advocating for healthier policies around gambling harm. And I know that our congregation has in the past, especially around when the council has had policy reviews on gambling, where there have been some submissions from our congregation around that. So we've got teams in Auckland, Wellington, wider Wellington region, and Christchurch. Feel free to ask any questions if you have any. Yeah.
Well, Lindy, I think it might be Maya Samoan concept, isn't it?
Yes. Thank you, Lietuva. So I'll talk a little bit about the name Mapu Maya. My understanding of it is around come and rest, come and take a break. For Samoans, so it is a Samoan term, and for example, when someone is travelling through the village and a family can call out, Mapu Maya, come have a break, have something to eat, and come and rest, which is something that the reason why we have this name is to follow up that cultural approach or that concept of it's more than just talking. Part of the process is talking, so we talk about tala tala noa, which is not an uncommon process for Pacific people, but it's just that the Balangi word counselling may not necessarily translate so well. So Mapu Maya, I recently completed 6 weeks of broadcasting on Samoan radio a couple of weeks ago, and through the fellowship of Samoan ministers, and one of the ministers, when we talked about the name Mapu Maya, offered a reflection about Jesus saying come to me and rest. So that was a really nice connection there, in terms of linking it to our faith. So just to get us a little bit warmed up around the topic, and I'm sure this won't take too long, but just take a couple of minutes at your table and talk with the people around you to answer this question. So what can you tell me about gambling harm? So I'll give you a couple of minutes to have a bit of a chat about that. So let's just take a bit of time to hear back from what some of the conversations have been around the table in the last few minutes. So, do you want to go first?
Yep. Okay. So, George mentioned that it was a Methodist idea, Methodist principle, that you didn't get engaged in gambling, and that's gone back a long way. Not in horse racing, for instance. And that brought to mind a situation. My grandmother on my mother's side was raised on a farm down in Otago, and she loved horses, and she would have dearly loved to have gone to a race meeting, not to gamble on, but to see all the horses. But my grandfather was a Methodist minister, and he would have none of that. You couldn't, it's like you tantamount to going and gambling, betting on the horse, you couldn't do it. So it was just an interesting tension in my past history.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. Thanks, Philip. Yeah. Okay, we should move on to the next. We'll go around the, oops, this way, since we started here. Sven and... to the tables on the side there, our young people. No comments? Any comments? Okay. Did you want to add anything else, Tala and Osana? What you're saying is winning does not equal success.
My experience is that a lot of gamblers end up in jail because they steal. And it's not just gamblers, it's actually anybody with an addiction of any sort who steal to feed their addiction. And I've seen some real tragedies that people who the poker machines have been sexually addicted. Once people get into the handle of vision and they lose control.
Yeah.
And I've seen hundreds of thousands of dollars stolen by individuals, often off an organisation that they're working for. And end up in jail as a result.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to to next table.
Okay. We just felt like gambling is a cause of poverty in that the resources of the family are misdirected into other places, diverted from, you know, food and housing and people. And that the gambling machines are targeted, it seems, into poor areas, whereas Philomena reflected that in her country, that what she noticed was that the gambling was directed to the rich people in the resorts and the hotels.
Okay.
Where the money was. And here it seems to be targeted to the poor people. And just thinking of, I was thinking about the ethical dilemmas. There's a personal ethical thing that says, I'm putting my hopes on a win when I should be working together with people for good, or I should be praying for good, or, you know, like that's misdirected efforts and hopes as well. And then from the point of view of the larger organisations like this church, for example, the whole mechanism that says if you want money for your church to be strengthened or for your sports club or whatever, you have to get it through this gambling structure. There's no other way. We decide we don't want to get lottery money. Where else do we get it from? There isn't a funding process. So the whole structure is designed for us to go through that which we don't like. And so the money's going to be given to somebody. Why shouldn't we have some? That's the dilemma, you know?
Yeah.
Why is the structure like this in the first place?
Good question. Good points.
Yes.
Any others from that table?
To add, from a personal level, the shame and the guilt that might be hidden by other behaviours, but is underneath, so there's a real lack of self-value and all that. And then the effect on relationships, so, you know, with church, with work, with family, so the whole downward spiral sense of well-being.
Yeah.
And of course the stress on families.
Yeah. Cool. And our last table.
When we talked about feeling that gambling, or just the odd lottery tickets, not a big issue. The problem comes when you haven't, when you start spending money that you haven't got to spend. So you start spending the mortgage money, the food money, money for the kids. That's when it becomes a problem. Mm. And we also talked a bit about Margaret Meyer and just what that means in the Samoan.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Any other questions from pretty much what everyone has said is definitely part of the work that I see, and we not only do I see it in my work, but it's also stuff that we see in the media as well. So I've just got a couple of media headlines that will highlight some of the things that you have already mentioned. So earlier in the year, there was an international gambling conference in Auckland, and some of the people who presented to that, the professionals who work in research in particular, had called for pokies to be banned from pubs and clubs. So that's where the majority of pokie machines are. There are some in casinos, and of course we don't have one in Wellington, which I think is great. So the majority of our electronic gaming machines are in pubs and clubs. Dr. Lance O'Sullivan in Northland has been a big advocate against pokie machines from his experience as a GP and seeing the effects of that on children and families. What Heather was saying about which communities they're affected the most in, and it's the ratio of machines in poorer communities compared to those in more affluent communities is quite disproportionate. Unfortunately, this is one of the outcomes sometimes from gambling. So Daphne talked about the stress and the impact on relationships and the effect on well-being and mental health, and suicide is certainly part of the risk that's involved in that. I'll skip through some of these. I don't know if you remember in Tokoroa there was a proposal for a lot of gambling machines to be merged from a couple of clubs, and it would have been created like a mini casino, and
This is a local community group that had lobbied against that. Also in Gisborne, similar cause for being pokey free. This was a couple of months ago. I don't know if anyone saw this in the news, but a pub in Northland, up north, decided to get rid of their pokey machines because they had found a baby in a car seat just outside the venue. And when they went to see where the parents were, they were in the pokey's room. So. So we're still spending quite a bit of money on gambling. Internet gambling and online gambling is a feature that is starting to pop up. And this article in particular was around the advertising of it. So in New Zealand, we're not really meant to be advertising gambling, but there's a company, and all about these online sites are overseas. So in New Zealand, all gambling profits do go back into the community, but when they're overseas, it goes overseas. It doesn't stay in New Zealand. So support services and more recently, just in the last couple of weeks, a study done at AUT, a longitudinal study with Pacific families that started back in 2000, has just released a report about the growth of problem gambling in Pacific families. And one of the city councillors in Auckland wrote a piece about just a day or so ago.
So any other stats on what type of gambling becomes more of a problem within the Pacific community?
Pokey machines, yeah. I don't have the stats on me, but yeah. Not just Pacific communities, but the majority of people that we see at our workplace is pokey machines. That's the main mode of gambling that people have issues with or that are harmful. And part of that is around the access, I think, is so accessible. There's so many machines around, and also the way that pokey machines are designed to stimulate the parts of our brains that create addiction, which someone talked about ethical, you know, I can't believe that psychologists are involved in designing these machines with lights and sounds that stimulate that part of the brain, and it is an addiction, very, very similar to alcohol and other drugs. So it works in the same way in our brains. And that compulsion just becomes so strong that maybe it might have started off innocently as a social, you know, outing with friends to when they, often the journey is that starts off socially, they have a bit, they have a win, and then they start thinking, oh, that wasn't very hard. And then they go back, and with that first win, the experience that they have from that, like the euphoria, the high, they will continue to chase that feeling and try and repeat it. So much similar with drugs and alcohol. But yeah, pokey machines is probably the main cause of harm that we see.
So are there statistics on, say, the number of people gambling versus the number who become addicted? And over time, has that changed?
The general statistics with gambling in New Zealand, it's about 1 to 2% of the population. And there are some statistics around there, but I don't know them off the top of my head.
I'm just wondering, is it a problem that's getting worse, or is it stabilising, or does it, you know, what are external things apart from access affects people's becoming addicted?
It would be, so often it's associated with mental health and other addictions, and there are also some connections to family violence as well, yeah. And one of the things though is that with pokey machines, despite the number of machines decreasing in New Zealand, the level of spending has increased. So
what's the reason for that?
I don't know. I can't. Yeah, yeah. I can find out for you. So the, in terms of the spending, so what everyone has said about the different harms, and definitely what Renda was saying about crime and offending, is that it also, because it's risk-taking, and offending is risk-taking, well, we all do a lot of risk-taking, so gambling is legal risk-taking, and then it does get to a point where someone does start to cross a line, so to speak, and they do start stealing, start lying to family, borrowing money, selling things, and what we know is that as someone progresses, that the level of risk in their offending also increases. So from something like fraud and theft, in terms of the risk of crime engaging, could get more, like for example, more violent crimes like aggravated robbery and grievous bodily harm, which is, we also do some work in the prisons, and a lot of the, at Rumutaka prison, and majority of the men that we see out there also have gambling in their background, as well as other addictions and violence. So it's not, gambling is not isolated, as I'm sure we're all aware of. So the next couple of slides is just a little bit of information about what is spent locally on pokie machines. I don't know if you can see that graph very well, but the Department of Internal Affairs monitors how much money gaming machines or pokie machines take each year, and since 2013, so they do it every quarter, and what you see there is the first quarter of each year going back 5 years. And if you can see the figures on the left there, that you'll notice that they, apart from 2015, where it went down a little bit in that first quarter, which is about March, that it has grown to, for Wellington at least, it's now $9.4 million spent on poker machines. It's a lot. That's a lot. That's the first quarter.
40 million a year.
Yeah.
These are the proceeds that the council's making.
No, not the council, the societies that own the poker machines. But remember, a portion of it does go back into the community, but there was a whole lot of process a few years ago about the transparency of how those proceeds go back into the community, whether it goes back to the community that the money came from, or whether it went outside of that community.
So, Tui Lungi, you're saying that's the profit from them, not the spend. It's not what the total has been bet. That's just the profit.
It's the profit.
It's $40 million a year in Wellington at the moment.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And it's interesting, it almost looks like at Christmas it drops, so that a proportion of the gamblers realise that they've got to spend money on other things.
Yeah.
But as the year goes on, then it increases.
Yeah.
So that's probably not really showing the true addiction, because the addicts would just be spending more.
Yeah. So, and then for Lower Hutt. Those are some of the figures there.
One of the other questions that I have actually is that gambling often cuts across a people's perceived morality. I mean, they might have a respectable life outside of gambling, and support good causes. Might be in the church, and it cuts right across everything else that they believe in.
Yeah.
And it really destroys a life, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, it does. From my experience, and this is why we call it the invisible addiction, people become very clever at deception and hiding and putting on masks, like that things are going okay, but really underneath it all, there could be a lot of stress and anxiety building up,
And usually, and sadly, it's when something significant happens is when we tend to see people, rather than in the earlier stages when someone might be thinking, do I have a problem? It's usually when there's ultimatums that have been given from partners, or when the house has been lost or savings have been lost, and those kinds of situations when rock bottom, I've heard, you know, some people might call it, is usually when we see people when they start seeking support. Yeah. Okay, so coming up, and the reason why I did Lower Hutt and Wellington City Council, because it's been a few years now since they both reviewed their gambling policy, so they're due for reviewing them this year. And also we have Gambling Harm Awareness Week, which is on the first week of September. So this is, like other awareness weeks, is the dedicated time in the year where we, in gambling service, support services, work to raise awareness. And I guess for me it's about how do we create that culture of help seeking, because it's not it's not the easiest thing to do, particularly when people are stressed about a lot of other issues that are coinciding with the gambling as well. One of the things that I, in terms of getting it, so 10am have been involved in Gambling Harm Awareness Week in the past. Like last year we supported the screening of documentaries around gambling, and this year I thought I'd ask the parish council to see if we could expand their involvement to our wider parish. So one of the ideas is that we would ask each congregation to put forward some names if anyone is interested in being part of coordinating the next parish, our combined social event like last night, with a theme around Gambling Harm Awareness Week. So if anyone's interested, you can come see me afterwards. Yeah, so that's kind of what's coming up over the next few months. So with the City Council policies, we never know when they'll be released. So it's usually they release the documents for community consultation. You only have a fixed period of time, usually about 4 weeks, for people to send in their thoughts and submissions before the council will review it and make a decision. So that is part of our work and around advocacy and that.
What kind of services do you actually offer? Are they sort of weekly counselling or, residential
services? Yeah, weekly counselling. So the Mokomaya service is mobile, so that means we can do home visits. And the counselling services, or we have offices around Wellington, Lower Hutt, Porirua, where people can come and attend. We also run group programs as well, and can also deliver education workshops around, you know, like what we're doing today and around the harms of gambling. But also with some other community support services, we can run training with people in terms of what we call brief interventions or screening, and how they can pick up on gambling in terms of their work, like social workers and other community mental health workers as well. Does that answer your question?
I like to suggest if we could ask the mayor to meet the four parishes and express our concern not to increase any more machines. It's enough as it is now. But if the full congregation meet the mayor and express our wishes, and then probably the mayor won't increase any more machines.
Mm. Mm. Thank you. That's a good suggestion. I'll definitely take that on board. Cool. I was just reflecting on our Bible readings for today, and I think one of the things for me that kind of stood out, so these are the both versions that we've got in our, the top one is the Message and the bottom one is the New Revised Standard Version. I think verse 11, that first line, was the verse that stood out for me the most in relation to my work. And so in terms of the reading as a whole, my reading of it is that the blessings that we receive through Christ, in terms of that we have been chosen and adopted into God's family, that through the blood and sacrifice of Christ that we've been forgiven and redeemed. Also that we are part of God's plan and design, and that in Christ everything in heaven and on earth will come together as part of that, and that through our identity in Christ that we find or inherit our purpose about who we are and what we live for as part of that plan. So one, that's the verse that stood out for me from our reading, is that it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for, that I thought would be a good reflection on what does that really mean for us, not just individually, but as a community, as a congregation. I did have a couple of questions, but I'm not sure if we do have time to. We might just have a conversation about it, about how that applies to us in our faith today. Considering all this, so not just gambling, but there's so many social issues that our communities are facing at the moment. So what does that mean? What is our identity in Christ? And what is it that we are living for in relation to that and the context of the letter to the Ephesians? So I might give you a couple of minutes to have a chat about that in your tables. Just after I left the microphone, I thought, that's actually not the easiest question. But just put it, and we're not going to go around the tables again, but I just wondered if there were any comments or any thoughts that anyone had. And I didn't expect anyone to have any like really clear questions, because even for myself, it was. I think it's something that you don't answer today and say that's it for me, because it will be an ongoing reflective process. So I'd love to hear what any thoughts were around that. Heather.
First thought was, it seems really overwhelming to know what to do to help, because it seems like a big deal. And then you thought, well, if somebody around us is suffering from struggling with gambling, how do you know? Because it's hidden. So what we can do is that's on a personal level, but how do you know when somebody's needing help that you might be oblivious?
Yeah.
So that's sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
I also thought these letters to the Ephesians, the letters for seeking to live new values.
Success stories out there, and I will say that it's not easy though, and each person will be different, but I think one of the common things around it is about, for some people it's about what are the underlying issues or reasons why they got into gambling or any other addiction in the first place, and it's about how to find ways to find other purpose and other meaning that fulfills whatever it is that might be underlying. Yeah. And in terms of some people that I've worked with are quite happy to share their story. It's also a very courageous thing to do for someone to be able to openly share, because with gambling in particular, it's because people have lived a life of deception and hiding, and almost like in a sometimes I describe it about being in the dark, coming, that process of coming out of this dark place into the light is challenging, and takes a lot of courage for someone to be able to stand in the light and to be vulnerable and say, this is what I've done, this has been my experience. So and that can, that time frame can vary from person to person. Yeah.
Cool, thank you. I think for me it's a very important start that yes, we can talk about all the social issues until the sun sets, you know, like at the same time, we don't want to sound like those people sitting in the boardrooms, you know, with our fancy clothes on, just talking, but at the same time, we need to practice it as well. And it may not be gambling that we're all, everyone's passionate about social issues, but it could be homeless, which our congregation especially do very well in supporting. You know, their kids who are, you know, their kids can, or kids who have been abused. You know, there's so many things out there that we can all contribute to. But, for me personally, is that our identity in Christ, or so as Christians, then we're very blessed and privileged to have the lives that we have. You know, they say if you have a dollar, you have plenty to share, you know, and so, you know, it's just that, yeah, cool, let's talk about it at the same time. Let's do something about it. Get up there, make that change, I don't know, in whatever way, whatever form you want, you know. It's just that, yeah, we're blessed to have the lives that we have. We get to sit in this beautiful hall and talk about this. We get to have a beautiful morning tea with other people. Gambling is the answer, you know, like gambling is their way of getting through, you know, and maybe none of us have experienced what they're going through, and, you know, yeah, there's a whole bunch, like, you know, there's drugs, all of that, yeah, but other people gambling, that's how they put food on the table, or that's the short-term answer right now, because the long-term answer is going for a lot of meetings, a lot of, you know, social development, all of that, you know, just to get good food on the table. So it's just, yeah, I don't know where I'm going with that, but it's just that, you know, we have a lot of beautiful ideas, but sometimes everyone's going through their own issues, their own stories, we don't know. But so, yeah, let's do something about it as well, but that it's gambling, and that's why I love the CNAM does do a lot of stuff with a lot of social issues that's happening in Wellington and around New Zealand, but just at the same time, yeah, let's do Albert as well, let's do something about it and talk about it. Yeah, that's really cool.
Thank you. Can I add in that? I think we talk enough about gambling. What I would like us to do is come up with solutions. No more discussion about gambling, because we all know there are gambling around all over New Zealand, and families are really damaged and suffer from it. But I would like us to come with some answers and make it happen. Mm-hmm. Please don't is not helping the people.
Yeah.
Come with the answer and make it happen. We deliver the work for the help for the people.
Mm. Do you have any ideas at the moment, Tala?
Well, I think the reason why these people are gambling because they don't know how to budget, and perhaps they're bored, and we should take some activities to them and guide them along. No more gambling, but come here with make things, sewing, cooking, gardening, whatever. Make them busy doing things that would benefit the family. If you do your garden, you provide food for the family. Sewing, cleaning, baking. But we talk enough about everything. But we should have solutions and give it to the people.
Yeah. Thank you, Tala. Right. Oh,
yes. When the councils are having their policy review, we should get some forms and make out applications.
Oh, yeah.
Submissions.
Submissions.
So we can say not as many voters, yes, none, whatever, you know, we can say that, let's not have them.
So yeah, definitely.
We've actually gone to the council chambers.
Yes,
yes, it is. Oh, yes,
that's right. Yeah,
that's
right.
We can volunteer those who can.
That's right, yeah.
We can go to the chambers in front of mayors, councillors, whoever's there, you can actually submit in your privileges. And they are interested to hear.
Yeah, that's right.
We can invite the mayor and all the councillors.
Okay, so thank you all for your comments and your contributions this morning. It's just really great to be able to
talk a little bit more about this topic. So I'll hand back over to Ngatua Bao, who will continue with our worship this morning.